The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very happy new year to everyone as we gather on this first day of 2023. And I also want to say a special word of welcome to those who are joining us online from different places around the world. We had some lovely messages over the Christmas period from people who tune in every week from all sorts of places. So we're really glad that you can worship with us today. Today in our service, we're going to be thinking about some of the most incredible words ever written after the Holy Scriptures, the words of our Christmas carols. And the words of our Christmas carols are words that contain really powerful teaching about all that God has done for us in Christ. They help us to encounter Jesus in a personal way. And as we gather on this first Sunday of a new year, we come expectantly and we invite Jesus to enter our lives afresh as we hear and we sing these powerful truths and hear some of the stories behind some of our favorite carols. We also have the opportunity this morning to hear Bishop David share a brief New Year's message with us. And before each carol that we sing, we will hear the background to it. Just wanted to remind people that our worship continues this evening at 7 o'clock with the service of Holy Communion. And on Wednesday morning, we have our service of Holy Communion with prayers for those who are sick. There's also the opportunity on Wednesday evening as our Pilates classes resumes in the church hall at 7 o'clock. And on Thursday evening, our parish prayer meeting takes place over Zoom. On Saturday morning, members of the Mothers' Union are gathering for a devotional morning in the church hall at 10 o'clock. And our service is next Sunday, our Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7. I want to invite everybody this morning as we sing these wonderful words of our carols to sing them as our personal prayer on this first day of a new year. The first carol that we will be singing in a couple of moments is Once in Royal David's City. And Once in Royal David's City was originally written as a poem by Mrs. Cecil Frances Alexander. It was first published in 1848 in her hymn book, Hymns for Little Children. And then a year later, the English organist Henry John Gauntlett discovered this poem and set it to music. And the author of the poem, who was then Miss Humphreys, married the Anglican clergyman William Alexander, and her husband was made bishop in 1867. And Mrs. Alexander is also remembered for her famous hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Since 1919, the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols at King's College, Cambridge, has become its Christmas Eve service. And Arthur Henry Mann's arrangement of Once in Royal David's City is always the processional hymn. And in his arrangement, that first verse of this hymn is always sung as a solo by a boy chorister of King's Chapel. The second verse is sung by the choir, and then the congregation join in from the third verse. And according to the tradition of the King's College Choir, the soloist in Once in Royal David's City is usually chosen on the day of the performance when the choirmaster decides whose voice is the strongest on the day right before the broadcast. And so we're going to gather now and sing hymn number 177, Once in Royal David's City.
Thank you.
if you'd like to be seated. Although no Christmas season would be complete without the singing of the first Noel, very little is actually known about its origin. It's believed to have had its rise in France during the 15th century. And Noël is a French word originating from Latin, meaning birthday. And this song is thought to have been brought right across the Channel to England before 1823 and became a great favourite for Christmas Eve, especially in Cornwall. This was when the entire village would gather for singing and celebrating the bringing in of the Yule log. At that time, carols were thought of as popular religious songs meant to be sung outside the church rather than within. And the first Noel tells the story of the birth of Jesus. And all six verses are needed to complete the entire event whenever the hymn is sung. The sixth verse of this hymn urges us to join together to sing praises to God for the marvels of his creation and for the salvation provided through Jesus' blood shed for us on the cross. And the repetition of the joyous Noel in the refrain is equivalent to our singing happy birthday to someone. We're going to sing hymn 198, the first Noel.
Thank you.
Our next carol, While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night, is a carol that is attributed to Nahum Tate, who died in 1715. He was the son of Faithful Tate, who was an Irish clergyman, and he was also poet laureate to William III. This carol is based on some words from Luke chapter 2, in verses 8 to 14. It first appeared in print back in 1702 in Hymns Ancient and Modern, and it was arranged by William H. Monk to Winchester Old, which is an anonymous 16th century tune. And interestingly, until 1782, While Shepherds Watched was the only Christmas carol officially sanctioned by the Church of England. We're going to sing together hymn 188, While Shepherds Watched Their Flocks by Night. At the heart of the carols that we are singing this morning is that message of the peace which God came to bring to each of our hearts through the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're going to take the opportunity at this point in our service to bring our lives before Him on this first Sunday of a new year. And we're going to bring to mind perhaps those times when we have not been the people that He would want us to be. And we're going to take the opportunity to say sorry, to confess our sins, and to seek His forgiveness and a new start as we use the words of our confession on the screen. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against You and against our neighbor, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The next carol that we are going to sing is See Amid the Winter Snow, and it was written by Edward Caswell in the middle of the 19th century. And it was originally a poem that was created as a dialogue between the readers and the shepherds. And then when John Goss, who was the organist of St. Paul's Cathedral and professor of the Royal Academy in London, composed music for it, this carol became popular throughout Britain and indeed right across the British Empire. And this particular carol tells the story of the Nativity from the viewpoint of the shepherds and captures their wonder and their joy when they see Jesus for the first time. And the refrain to each verse continually adds to the excitement by declaring Christmas Day as being the dawn of redemption for the whole world. And so we're going to sing together hymn 179, See Amid the Winter Snow.
Thank you.
Our next carol, We Three Kings of Orient Are, was written in 1857 by John Henry Hopkins, Sr. And when he composed this carol, he was the rector of Christ Episcopal Church in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. And he wrote this particular carol for a Christmas pageant in New York City. Many versions of this song have been composed, and it remains a popular Christmas carol. And it all centers on the biblical Magi who visited Jesus as a child in a house sometime after his nativity and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh while paying homage to him. There are no details, however, given in the New Testament about the number of Magi that were present, or even if those Magi were royal. But legend and tradition has it that they were kings from the Orient, known as Melchior, Caspar, and Balthazar. And the number three probably stems from the fact that there were three separate gifts given. We're going to sing together hymn 201, We Three Kings of Orient Are. Our New Testament reading is from the Gospel according to St. John in the first chapter, beginning at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here ends our New Testament reading. And if you'd like to be seated, we're going to hear some words from Bishop David.
Very recently, a phrase that I spotted on one of our parish websites in the diocese got me thinking. The phrase asked the question, why is it that we never find John the Baptist in a nativity play? You will find, of course, angels and shepherds and wise men. There will be Mary and Joseph, of course, and an innkeeper and others perhaps as well. But as yet, certainly, I've never seen a nativity play that featured John the Baptist, even though John figures a lot in the events that lead up to the birth of the Lord Jesus. So I'd like to share with you just a few thoughts this Christmas about John the Baptist, and pray that those thoughts would really bless our churches over the Christmas season. But even more than that, that these thoughts might provide a little bit of direction for us moving forward in 2023. First of all, as you look at the ministry of John the Baptist, what strikes me is that John's ministry was a prophetic ministry. And the church today needs to be a prophetic church with a prophetic voice. We read in John's Gospel, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The thing about prophets is that they're very uncomfortable people to be around. They challenge the status quo. They challenge our apathy and our comfort. They call us to repentance. They often look at the things in society that need to be changed or need correction. Prophets aren't comfortable people to be around. But the church needs to have a prophetic voice, a prophetic voice that challenges perhaps some of the issues around us in society, the exploitation of the poor, and other issues as well. That challenges as well the apathy that sometimes exists in our churches, so that we rise up and become the people of God that God wants us to become. May we be a prophetic church with a prophetic voice, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Secondly, as I look at the ministry of John the Baptist, what strikes me as well is that in John's ministry, he proclaimed repentance and he proclaimed faith in Jesus Christ. Over this Christmas season, let's be those who help many to come to a place where they can find forgiveness, where they can find peace, where they can find joy. And my prayer for you and for myself as well, that we would know the mercy of God, the kindness of God, the cleansing of the Lord Jesus, and the forgiveness that he brings to us when we thoroughly repent of our sins and turn to him in believing faith. That's the message of the church, that men and women would repent and turn to Jesus, believe in him, give their lives to him, and follow him all the days of their lives. May we this Christmas and into the new year and beyond be a church that keeps the main thing, and proclaims repentance and faith. The third thing that strikes me about the ministry of John that I just love is the way that John pointed people to Jesus. He pointed people away from himself and pointed people to Jesus. That's the sort of church God is looking for in our day and in our generation. That's the sort of Christian that God wants you and me to be, that point people away from us and point people to Jesus. John said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Jesus is the one that brings peace. Jesus is the one that brings forgiveness. Jesus is the one that heals. Jesus is the one that restores us. He's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that comforts us. He's the one that lifts us out of places of despair. He's the one that comes to us in times of grief and loss and sorrow. He's the one that makes our path straight when life seems uncertain and we're not sure which way to turn. Look to Jesus yourself, but let's be part of a church that continually and constantly is pointing people to Jesus. So, like John the Baptist, let's be a prophetic church. Let's be a church that proclaims repentance and faith. Let's be a church that points people to Jesus. And then, as well, the thing about John the Baptist that I really love is the way that he is so open to and committed to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, so understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. He says, "I baptize with water, but the one mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." The Holy Spirit who was present at creation, the Holy Spirit who spoke through the Old Testament prophets, the Holy Spirit who at Pentecost was wind and fire, the Holy Spirit who writes God's word and God's truth upon our hearts, the Holy Spirit that brings us into a relationship with Jesus. May his church be filled, plunged into all the depths and all the blessings and all the ways that the Holy Spirit wants to equip and bless and strengthen his church and strengthen you and fill your life and fill my life for works of service. May we in 2023 be a church that's plunged into the things of God's Spirit so that we see our communities impacted by the grace of God and the kindness of God and the power of God to change lives as the gifts of the Spirit are exercised in the life of the church of the Lord Jesus. And finally, in the ministry of John the Baptist, John was about preparing people for Jesus. Let's be a church that constantly and continually, not just in Advent, is focused on the return of Christ, and a church that wants and works at and prays for a bride that would be a beautiful bride, a bride that would be ready for his return. So let's be a church that makes a people and a nation and a world and a diocese and a community and a parish people ready for the Lord's return. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, we say Sunday by Sunday. Let's prepare his church for his return. So, John the Baptist, he doesn't feature in our nativity plays. Perhaps he should, but certainly he needs to feature in our thinking. He needs to feature in our planning. He needs to feature in our praying. And he needs to feature at the very heart of the sort of church that God wants us to be over this Christmas season and into 2023. So may the Lord bless you, wherever you are today. May the Lord meet with you over this Christmas time. May you know his peace and his joy and all the rich blessings that flow from the one who became man and came and dwelt among us, the Lord Jesus. I'd love to pray for you and pray for all of us in our diocese. So let's bow our heads wherever you are, and please join me in praying. Almighty God, you make us glad with the yearly remembrance of the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that as we joyfully receive him as our Redeemer, we may with sure confidence behold him when he shall come to be our Judge, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And I pray that God would pour his grace and his mercy, his joy and his peace into your life and into your home and into the lives of all of those who are near and dear to you this Christmas. And we pray that Christ, who by his incarnation gathered into one all things earthly and heavenly, would fill you with his joy and with his peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Let's just continue in prayer for a moment. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you today for the privilege of worshiping together. And we thank you for musicians and hymn writers. We thank you for choirs and singers and praise groups right across the world who help to draw people into your presence. May the words that we have sung and reflected on today connect with our hearts and lives in a fresh way. And may we be open to hear all that you might want to say to us through them. So today we offer you our thoughts, our hearts and our lives, our joys and our sorrows, our successes and our failures on this first Sunday of 2023. Grateful that you receive us as we are and that you desire to make us more like Jesus. May we make good choices in the year that is to come, and may we make good decisions that will enable that process in our lives to move forward. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And we also want to pray on this day for peace in the world. We pray for an end to the conflict and the bloodshed, the destruction and the chaos in Ukraine. We pray for the international community to stand for peace. And we pray for miraculous intervention to change the hearts of those whose focus is on violence and hostility. So we pray for a raising up of an influential generation of peacemakers and political leaders who will be driven by your kingdom values and change the landscape of despair to one of hope and possibility. And we ask it through the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We also want to pray on this day for all who are sick over this new year, remembering especially those in hospital or in nursing homes. We pray too for those recuperating after major surgery. And we pray also for all who've lost loved ones over the course of this past year and who feel that loss intensely at this time. We want to pray for our brothers and sisters from the Roman Catholic community worldwide, mourning the death of Pope Benedict yesterday, asking for your comfort and strength for all who mourn, and for the presence of your Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear.
So go forth into 2023 in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you today and always. Our closing carol for today is O Little Town of Bethlehem, a carol that was based on the experience of Philip Brooks, who was an American Episcopalian who back in Christmas Eve in 1865 made that challenging journey from Jerusalem to Bethlehem to assist at the midnight service in the Church of the Nativity. And 2 years later, inspired by his experience on that journey, he wrote this carol, O Little Town of Bethlehem, for his Sunday school. Philip Brooks was quite an imposing man. He was 6'6" tall, and apparently he was capable of preaching at more than 200 words a minute. I could get through quite a sermon if I could do that. And he was a great favorite with all of the children in his congregation. So this particular carol was introduced to England in 1906 by Vaughan Williams, who arranged it to the traditional tune Forest Green. And that was a tune that he had collected from peasants in Surrey in 1903. The words of this particular carol are extremely powerful and ones that we can apply to our own lives every day. Let's sing our closing hymn, 174, O Little Town of Bethlehem.